And we welcome you into another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptaw, C70 at the bat, at C70 with Tara Wellman, at Tara Wellman on Twitter, Bird Seeds on the YouTubes. We do not have nicknames on our jerseys tonight. probably best for all concerned that we don't do that. Cardinals lose to the Pirates tonight in Williamsport, thankfully not playing like a little league team for the most part, although you could argue that Mike Leake's results were very similar to what you would get if a 13-year-old had been on the mound. Tara, we're going to start here with the starting rotation, and the starting rotation that has, for the most part, been a pretty good rock for this team for a lot of this year, and definitely years in the past. But they lose Adam Wainwright this week, and we've seen a very compromised Adam Wainwright for the last two or three weeks. So, I know Adam's saying 10 days of rest and then we'll see, but it's tough to know what you'll get even if he does return. And then you have Mike Leake, who has been very, very bad for an extended period of time. I was talking to you before tonight's game. He had a 5.35 ERA since the beginning of June, and that ERA did not go down with his outing today. Let's start with Leake. What do we do with him? let me just throw that in your lap. What do you do with Mike Leake?
First of all, I think you really have to try to figure out if this is just Mike Leake sort of returning to the Mike Leake of old after a fairly strong first half. Obviously, like you said, in June, the numbers started to fall off a little bit, but there was a good portion of the first half where he was one of the best starters of the five for the Cardinals. So I think we all kind of knew that that was him pitching above expectation, but I don't know that we were planning on watching him crash back to earth as dramatically as he has. So I think that the first thing is really to sort of identify if it's just that, if it's just sort of a regression to the mean for Mike Leake, or if there's something else going on. And I know that I had some comments today when I sort of brought this up on Twitter today from someone who was wondering what the evidence is that there is an arm issue going on with Mike Leake. And quite frankly, I have none. I'm not in the clubhouse. I'm not on the medical staff, although we'll just leave that there. But I think what causes people to go that direction is, first of all, it gives you a reason. If his arm is hurt, or if he's got some dead arm situation happening, or if it's fatigue or whatever it is, it gives you a reason for why he's pitching poorly, not just he's not good at his job. So I think that's a little more palatable than just being resigned to the fact that this is who Mike Leake is. But the second reason for that is because he has gotten so obviously and progressively worse in the second half that I think it's only natural to wonder, if nothing else, if there's something going on that is the root of that. So I don't have any evidence of anything. I don't have any medical tests or x-rays or a conversation with Mike Leake to base that on, but I think that if I was making a decision about what to do with Mike Leake, that would be my first step, is to make sure it's not a physical issue, because in the past couple of years, we have seen where this team let guys struggle in the from the pitching staff, and only later found out that the reason they were struggling is because they were injured. Mm-hmm. So I would probably make that my first priority, to rule something out. And then from there, it's tough. If it's not a physical limitation or an injury, you can't put a guy out there who can't get through three innings. Not with the bullpen the way that it is right now. You don't have the strength or the innings out of the bullpen that you need to cover a starter who can't go more than three innings a night. And that becomes an issue, especially when you couple it with Adam Wainwright. And then, we saw Michael Wacha in this last outing only go, I think, three innings. And of course there was a weird rain delay in there that, that, exaggerated his struggles, but nonetheless. So what you do with Mike Leake, if it's not a physical, issue, it becomes very complicated for me because, you know, he's got a contract that's such that he's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to put Mike Leake in the bullpen, I don't think. So I don't know how you set yourself up to succeed if you still plan on putting him out there every 5 days.
Yeah, I think it's a very difficult part, and it may be where the Cardinals need to take a page out of the Dodgers book and find something, to put somebody on the disabled list, because, and again, we kind of laughed at Johnny Peralta's upper respiratory infection, but, you know, if Mike Leake wants to develop one of those right about now, that's fine and dandy. But if you don't, you're right. I don't see how you can, I know everybody likes to say, you gotta play your best guys. Well, you know, that's great. And that's what you want to do. But there are realities that you have to deal with. And one of those is, you know, like you said, Mike Leake's contract, and Mike Leake, would not fit in the bullpen. You can't put Mike Leake out there and just bury him. I just don't think so. I mean, unless you want to carry like yet another arm. In which case the Cardinals would wind up being down to like, you know, 10 hitters and 20 to 15 pitchers. Which maybe I shouldn't be giving Mike Matheny any ideas. So he has to pitch, but if he's going to pitch, you know, how do you stay in a pennant race if you're going to be able to? You know, the Cardinals have brought up Luke Weaver to take Adam Wainwright's spot, which hopefully, given how compromised Adam Wainwright was over the last few times, he obviously did well enough when we saw him, even with diminished velocity, but did not have the same results against a team in Boston. So if not, you know, maybe that plugs that hole, but then you're right. Michael Walker didn't go well this time. You know, is that going to be a consistent problem, or was that just the rain delay? You know, Lance Lynn, honestly, if you look at some of his extra numbers, Lynn has not been as great as we might think he has been. You know, the whole rotation is springing a leak to some degree, and I don't know really how you fix it. I know a lot of people starting to clamor for Jack Flaherty, to come up. I'm not necessarily saying that's wrong, because I think that would be interesting given how he has done so well at Memphis, but is he ready for that? And then you have to factor in, do you want to burn an option next year? Because where does he fit into the 2018 picture? I don't know. I don't know that that should be a major qualification on not bringing him up or anything, but it is going to be part of the equation. And then some are talking about trying to trade for Justin Verlander, who has cleared waivers. You know, the Astros have been trying to trade for Justin Verlander for, it seems like, a month now. I have problems believing the Cardinals are going to swoop right in and get him. But even if they could, I mean, Verlander comes with his own issues. He's pitching better as of late, but he struggled to start this year. He's $22 million, if I'm right, and he's also under contract for the next 2 years. You have to hope that this late season renaissance is going to be good enough for the next couple of years, because he's going to have to be in that rotation. It's kind of like the Mike Leake thing. And if he goes bad and Mike Leake is going bad, and you don't want to even think about what this rotation looks like after that. And you say goodbye to Lance Lynn because, I mean, the odds of Lance Lynn coming back are maybe better than they used to be. But if you did something like that, it's not going to work. So I don't feel like Justin Verlander is a realistic option, and I'm not sure he's as great of an option as some people think, but I'm not a very good baseball analyst either, so that's okay. And again, trying to figure this out, it goes hand in hand with the bullpen issues, because, you know, the short starts are taxing the bullpen, but also even good starts are sometimes getting blown by the bullpen. And the bullpen took a major hit this week with Trevor Rosenthal going on the disabled list. Came out in the game against Boston, obviously had nothing. Right, and what little he had got deposited over the wall. You said on Twitter this week, you know, the Cardinals should probably stop throwing pitchers that are hurt. And
bold, I know.
I know, it seems crazy, but apparently that needed to be said because, you know, Trevor Rosenthal, somebody had a picture of a video of him warming up for that Boston game, and he's shaking his elbow and he's hurt. I mean, you could almost tell it just from the warm-ups. And, you know, Mike Matheny knew that to some degree because they had people warming up, I think, even before, definitely after the home run, maybe even before he came in. I'm not real sure. There was, I guess, hope that he could get through it. But, you know, hope is nice and all, but it doesn't necessarily win ball games. What's the option for the ninth inning right now? Assuming Trevor Rosenthal is done for the season, and I think that's a safe assumption to make.
Close your eyes and try not to watch it. No, I mean, I think we have seen this season that O is not really a good option there for whatever reason. His second season with the team is not replicating his first. I think that at one point people would have thought Kevin Segrist could have moved into that role at least on occasion, but he's been on and off the disabled list this year and not as effective as he has been in the past. Mm-hmm. I think you mentioned Tyler Lyons has been one of the best guys out there, and you sort of hate to pin him into that role simply because he's valuable in a number of different circumstances, especially when you have starters that are not going deep into games. But if he's the only guy that can get people out, you're kind of going to have to just process of elimination here. I think Brebbia has made a case for himself in some of those spots, but the more I think about it, the most becomes, however you slice it, almost closer by committee because of what the other needs in the earlier innings become. I think it makes it very difficult to make Brebbia the closer when you might very well be, and we've said this about Trevor Rosenthal in the past, when you might very well need him in the fifth or sixth inning. And that's where the game is on the line. But we saw this week, like you mentioned, that ninth inning is a whole different animal, and I don't know that there's anyone in the bullpen right now, possibly with the exception of Tyler Lyons, that I feel entirely comfortable with stepping in for Trevor Rosenthal.
Yes, and everybody knows how much I love the patron pitcher, but I'm still not necessarily sure that the ninth inning is a great place for him.
Right.
You know, I have always been on the bandwagon, always felt like he needed to be a guy that pitched two or three innings anyway. I never really cared for the short burst. Now, he's pitched better this year than I expected out of that. He used to have a little bit more command problems, and he hasn't had that as much this year. And he's been devastating on lefties for sure. I mean, I think all of us remember that those three outs he got in Cincinnati when he just froze people. But you're right. I think we talked at the beginning of the season about Trevor Rosenthal being that Andrew Miller type, and they would play, you know, bring him in for two or three innings here and there, and they just, you know, and we said at the time we were hesitant about that kind of, you know, radical bullpen management because of Mike Matheny and what he would do, and trusting him to make the right decisions. I think Matheny's been a little bit better with the bullpen maybe this year. It's still not, you know, a huge strength of his by any means. But I think we're going to have to see that going forward because, like you said, it's just going to be kind of a mix and match. And, you know, if there's three lefties up in the ninth, you know, maybe it's Zach Duke or maybe it's Lyons. You know, if those lefties are in the seventh, you know, and you use Duke or Lyons there, and then you're using Brebbia in the ninth, or Matthew Bowman gets his daily appearance. I mean, I just don't think that they can anoint a closer right now. And I don't know that there's anybody in Memphis that comes up and is a Todd Worrell or an Adam Wainwright to some degree, although Wainwright was pitching most of the year in the bullpen. They can just step into that closer role and make a run. Now, obviously, it's a grand tradition for the Cardinals to switch their closers late in the year for a World Series run that happened. Right. And that, you know, maybe this is playing out.
It's all setting up perfectly.
Right. But,
Rosie's not really hurt. They just had to do something dramatic or they wouldn't win.
Right. I mean, that, it was just, he was taking one for the team right there. So,
I told you, I said on Twitter that Chris Carpenter was in the dugout for that game. They were just trying to make him mad enough that he'd sign a contract.
Yeah. And, you know, it probably got pretty close in that 11-10 game.
He didn't look thrilled at the end.
I imagine he's like, I could have ended this 3 hours ago, you know. But, you know, I think we're going to have to distrust that. And I don't think a lot of Cardinal fans are excited about that. I don't think that anybody's out there going, yay, we get to trust Mike Matheny to make the right bullpen choices. But, I mean, what else are you going to do? This bullpen is where it is. Now, you could, again, the Cardinals brought up Mike Myers, proved that Mike Myers is really no point in being in a major league bullpen, very quickly, sent him back down, and they brought up Josh Lucas, who
we... I'm pretty sure before he was even off the field.
Yes, they actually had the helicopter come to the play to pick him up and send him back to Memphis. It was not good, I'm sure Mike Myers has some talents. Don't get me wrong, because he's been around this long. He pitched okay in Memphis this year, but over 2 years he has 10 innings and a 19.80 ERA and a 3.1 WHIP. Those are not good numbers, even in a small sample size of 10 innings. Those are not good numbers that I really do not expect to see Mike Myers again. Josh Lucas gets the call up and, you know, he's got a chance to pitch. He seems to be okay. I don't know much about him and I actually didn't get to see him pitch, yesterday. So I don't know, but, there are some arms in Memphis, you know, Dakota Hudson, Ryan Sheriff, some of the others that they could add to the 40 man and bring up. But, and I'm not saying they shouldn't. I think that they probably should give, you know, if nothing else, we've kind of proven there's nothing to lose. On these guys. So, I mean, what do you think? I mean, is this when we finally, because so many people are always wanting those prospects, those new guys to come up. Is this finally where they have to just break down and kind of go for broke for this year and do that?
It feels a little bit like last year when they brought Alex Reyes up. I mean, there was a lot of clamoring for that for a long time before it happened. And, you know, then it did and we got a little glimpse of what he was capable of. And it was a lot of fun to watch, if nothing else, in a season where they were not in a division race. It made games exciting, when you had the opportunity to see a young guy who's this highly touted prospect to get in the game. I think in a similar way, you could see that with some of these young guys that Memphis does have to offer. I don't know that any of them are quite to the point where Reyes was at this point last year, although I think you could make the case for Flaherty. I think he's made quite a statement this year. I've always been a big fan of Ryan Sheriff. I think I would like to see him get a chance at some point. I think the Cardinals might be more willing to give him a shot as opposed to taking someone like Flaherty or Hudson out of their respective roles at this point. And as you mentioned, kind of start the clock on their careers. But I think I have a hard time sort of picturing a scenario over the next couple of weeks where they don't do something, because this bullpen just cannot, I mean, you've got maybe three guys out there that you can trust right now, and you've got starters dropping like flies, and you're gonna just need some innings from somebody somewhere. I think what makes it difficult is that 2 weeks ago we were talking about the Cardinals basically closing up shop and just riding the season out. And now all of a sudden we're talking about the Cardinals, who are not only in a division race, but are actually in a wild card race as well, which is far more unexpected, I think, than where they are in the division at this point. So it's hard to imagine a scenario where they do just sort of ride the season out when they worked so hard to get so close, as far as the players are concerned, and then the organization doesn't do anything to try to give them that extra leg up, especially in light of some of the injuries. But again, it goes back to this thing we've talked about all year, is this team worth that investment at this point of the year when it might cost you something that you have in the plans for the next year or two? And that still remains the question that needs to be answered.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I think that you're right that there's a little bit of an obligation for the fact that the Cardinals got back in this race. But on the flip side of this, it just kind of feels like this is what these Cardinal teams are going to be, no matter what. You know, as we were saying earlier, you know, back on June 9th or whatever, or June 10th, whatever it was, when Mozeliak, you know, had the big press conference and got rid of Chris Maloney and got rid of Johnny Peralta.
Can I just pause and say, if that's really his definition of a major shakeup over the course of a season, then we may have identified the problem. But continue.
Fair enough, but that may be a whole nother show. Yeah, I think when we saw that press conference, we expected a few more things. And to be fair, there has been a little bit of, you know, using the Memphis Express, but I don't know that that's exactly what we thought it would be. But anyway, back then, the Milwaukee Brewers were in first place, and the Cardinals were 4.5 games back. You know, we jumped the calendar up to August 20th, and the Cardinals are now following the Cubs, but are 3.5 back. It's just, it doesn't feel, you know, they had that big, huge push to get tied, and then immediately lose, what, 4 of 6? Right after the 8-game winning streak, so pretty much giving a lot of that back. It's so hard to believe that this team can put any kind of sustained thing together, especially with the injuries that they're getting now. I guess if nothing else, we should, you know, before we, you know, spend the whole time complaining about stuff, we shouldn't acknowledge that the offense, for the most part, is doing their job now. You know, putting up like 5 runs a game since the All-Star break. The problem is sometimes they need every bit of that. And then
remember when we talked about separating the pitchers and the hitters in their meetings? We need to go back to that.
Yeah, we're going to have to get back to that because apparently they have started meeting together again. Yeah, it's, I mean, what do you think? Does it feel to you that this team really can do it? Or is it just going to be kind of, you know, pushing the boulder up just to watch it roll back down?
You know, I'm hesitant to maybe sound naively optimistic, partly because I've been accused of that this week. I promise you, I'm not naive about what this team is. Just listen to this show most of the year.
That's right.
I've done plenty of complaining. But I think that there's some things that are not quantifiable as far as, you know, statistics or analysis. There's no metric to kind of measure how a team feels compared to how it felt 2 weeks ago. I watch this team and they look like a different team. I know that that doesn't mean anything as far as a direct result, in the standings, but I do think that I feel like this current version of the team, I guess I should say maybe before all the injuries started happening, but nonetheless, I think that they stand a better chance than any other version of this team that we saw over the first 2-3 months of the season. That said, I think it's still hard to, it's hard to look at this roster with or without the injuries and think that it's the kind of roster that you expect to succeed against some of the best teams in baseball. Now, the Cardinals don't have to play the best teams in baseball the rest of the season, so they have that going for them. And we keep saying this every week, but they do still basically control certain elements of their own destiny with the head-to-head matchups with both the Cubs and the Brewers left this season. And just as a bit of a benchmark, I went back this week and looked at where, kind of how that run developed for the 2011 Cardinals. And I was curious, so you may have seen, I asked on Twitter what the date was that run started, and almost everyone says that August 25th was when the Cardinals had that comeback win, and everything was great from then on. False. That's not actually how it worked. Whether you're looking at the division standings or the standings in the wild card, because obviously the Cardinals never did catch the Brewers that year, things actually got worse a number of times before they got better for good. The Cardinals were 10.5 games back. They climbed up a couple of games, fell back 3 games. And I just looked at it today, and it was in the 13 days, I know that's a strange number, but there's a reason for it. In the 13 days, after that August 25th date, they only gained 3 games. And I went to 13 games because that's when they got to the 7.5 back in the wild card and didn't drop below that again the rest of the year. But they gained 3 games in 13 days. That's not instant. That's not, less stressful than what we've seen in the last 10 days or so with the Cardinals. So all of that to say, not that that's a direct comparison of the two teams, but just of the idea that sometimes when a change happens, and I know you've mentioned the Colby Rasmus trade is what a lot of people think started some of those changes, things got much worse after that before they actually got better. So in the position the Cardinals are in now, I still have a hard time, just writing off the possibilities completely because, even though, yeah, it's frustrating to watch them play just miserably in Boston, and then lose 2 to the Pirates, I think that I still feel like this team has a different sense of who it is and who they want to be and how they're going to get better than I did 3 weeks ago. And whether or not that ever shows itself in the standings is yet to be seen, but that's just a very long-winded way of saying I'm having a hard time buying into them as a real postseason contender, but I'm also having just as hard of a time writing them off when they're so close to that breakthrough.
I think that's fair. I think you're right. I think this team has looked different over the last couple of weeks. And part of that is to do with, I mean, the biggest chunk of that is to do with the offense, an offense that does not seem to be held down as much, that if you get down 2-0, 3-1 early in the game, you don't necessarily immediately turn it off like you might have earlier in the year because you just don't expect them to come back. They do seem to have a little more fight in them. It's just, you know, it feels like the pitching staff, for as much as they want to help, are just giving them such big holes to dig out of. And sometimes they can, you know, that first game against Pittsburgh where they got down, I've forgotten exactly what it was, but Wainwright got them down 4-5-1, something like that. And they came back and won 11-6 or 11-7, whatever. You know, they can do that, but there's only so many times I feel like you can do that. I mean, there's going to be times where you're going to get in those holes and you're just not going to be able to dig out. It's kind of like tonight. You know, they got down and they had a couple of chances late, including up to the very last at bat, but just couldn't come through. But so I don't know. I'm with you in the fact that you can't completely write them off because it does feel like a different team than it did earlier on, but I just, you know, every time we see them make some sort of positive step forward, you know, it feels like they take that step back and they just kind of sit around in that same 3.5, 4.5 games spot. And so, you know, they very well may finish the season 3.5 games behind somebody, you know, still in the race to some degree until the last week or two, but never, I don't know, I think there's a difference between being a serious contender and being in the race. And
yeah.
And for right now, it's really hard to see them as a serious contender. Now, you know, if they call up Jack Flaherty and he, you know, is this major life-giving thing to the rotation and Luke Weaver fills in so well, and, you know, Carlos Martinez figures out how to pitch the first inning, and, you know, the pitching staff kind of gets on track, then maybe you can see that. But it's going to take – I don't know that the current roster is going to be able to do it. I think they're going to have to get some reinforcements one place or another, and we'll see what that looks like. Anything else from this week, Tara? I mean, it feels our mood is so significantly different than it was when we did the show last week. You know, just one game out of 500 on the heels of that 8-game winning streak. It feels like so far away.
It does. But that's how quickly things can change in 1 week's time. So I guess that's the other reason that I think I have a hard time just sort of throwing away the rest of this season, because there's a lot that can change in a 1 week swing, and we've seen them do it now. We saw them get past that 500 barrier. We saw them climb back up to where the Cubs are, which still isn't great, but it's better than where the Cardinals are. So a lot can change in 1 week. I mean, Jed Jerko hit a 2-run homer tonight. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean.
So that's allowed. Maybe that'll open the floodgates for Jed Jerko now, and he'll just hit multi-run homers every night.
it's possible, because they are playing the Padres this week.
There you go.
We know how Jed does against the Padres.
It's all coming together.
Yeah. Cardinals, as you pointed out, do have an easier schedule. They only play, as of right now, the only two teams left on their schedule for the entire year that are over 500 are the Brewers and the Cubs. And, of course, you know, obviously two big teams for them to play. But, and I'm not saying that you're playing up sub-500 teams mean you're going to, you know, just walk over them, because the Pirates just proved that. But, you know, you got to like your chances. The problem is, of course, as we've talked about in the last couple of weeks, the Cubs have a similarly easy schedule, so you have to try to make up ground there too. But, they have a 6-game homestand starting on Tuesday, the Padres and the Rays. The Rays, who I guess technically are still in the race, because everybody, I think, in the National American League is in the wild card race. You look at that and it goes to, what, 6 deep? That's not even counting the teams that are actually in the wild card right now. With Toronto 5 games out, and they're like 9th in the standings. So, Tampa Bay's 4 games under 500, but 4 games out of the wild card. They'll be, you know, a team that's struggling as of late, but could be really coming into fight. The Padres, not so much, but, it's a big week. I think the Cardinals got to win at least 4 this week, don't they? They probably should win 5, given the quality of their competition.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what you would like to see. I also think that this is a big week because of what decisions will be made about how to proceed with the rotation, and really about what the results are for Trevor Rosenthal. I think that everyone's pretty much resigned to the fact that he's probably done for the year, but once you get confirmation on some of these things, the Cardinals are going to have to figure out how they're going to move forward. So it'll be a big week for the decisions that have to be made, but the challenge is, and I think the frustrating thing is, that they're making these decisions in the midst of a pennant race, like you said, and every choice that they make is going to likely have a direct impact on how they sustain some of that good mojo from the win streak into this next week, where they should be able to be quite successful. So I think a lot of weight rests on kind of finalizing what their backup plan is at this point, and how they all move forward from there.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be a very telling week as well, because, well, we saw it this week with Mike Myers. That was the path of least resistance. Myers was on the 40-man roster. It didn't hurt them to give him another try. Obviously, that did not work. Josh Lucas may not be anything special, but he was not on the 40-man. They did have to add him. will they do something else? Will they add, take some people off the 40-man, add some other arms from the minors, or will they go with a John Gant, who has done all right at Memphis, may not be anything special, but is on the 40-man, and they don't have to worry about you know, options and things of that nature. I think there's going to be a lot of people wanting them to be more creative. And whether they should be or not, I don't know, but it feels like, you know, at least if you're going to get creative, you know, maybe that'll give a little bit of a spark. Maybe before we leave, maybe we should discuss a little bit. You know, the Cardinals, for some reason, and as much as the Little League game tonight was kind of an interesting, you do kind of wonder about the fact that they, you know, gave them a 26th man for this thing. And,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, let's just change all the rules for today, you know, for the heck of it. The Cardinals apparently were deciding between Stephen Piscotty and Magnaria Sierra. They went with Piscotty. Not only did they go with Piscotty, Piscotty, you know, batted second because Mike Matheny makes out his lineups by position, not by player. You know, I guess this feels like they must think Piscotty is close to returning. What happens then? I mean, because there was some idea that Dexter Fowler would go on the DL, but obviously he's healthy now. You know, there's got to be another move to be made there. What do you think?
Yeah, it will be interesting. I think that I would say that Luke Voit and Jose Martinez are the two that are going to be on the chopping block. I think that, you know, position for position, it makes sense that you bring up an outfielder. You would eliminate some of the confusion for Mike Matheny in the outfield by sending one down. However, I think the sort of magical story of Luke Voit has worn off a little bit, and I'm not sure that he has quite the value that someone like Martinez would have, despite the fact that I think it becomes more and more evident that Martinez is a bit of a liability defensively. Mm. So I think that's sort of where I would be torn. I would rather have Martinez offensively, but I think you have to be very, very careful with how he is perhaps overexposed defensively. And that's where Luke Voit maybe has a bit of an advantage, on the defensive end. But, Voit is another guy that, you know, there's a lot of talk about wanting him to have more regular at bats, and that's a thing that he can do at Memphis and not in St. Louis. So, I would imagine it's those two that are kind of the toss up right now, but, even more than that, I am hopeful that Piscotty does in fact have some things figured out. I'm concerned about the added complexity of the outfield makeup when Piscotty returns, because I think we've seen some consistency out there from the guys that have played on a fairly regular basis. And like you mentioned, Piscotty batting second is kind of mind-boggling. But nonetheless, I think that he's a guy that the team, the organization, has quite literally bought into. And he's going to get every chance that they can give him to succeed.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about Voit because of the fact that I'm not real big on five outfielders that, you know, and none of them.
I mean, Martinez could play first as well. Not well, no. But.
Yeah, I mean, we saw him drop the ball in, was it, I guess it was Pittsburgh, but I'd still rather him, much rather him out in the outfield. But you're right. I mean, there's really not much point of having Luke Voit on this team because he's not gonna play. I mean, you can't get Matt Carpenter out of the lineup. Apparently you can't move Matt Carpenter around. It does feel like Voit, it feels like when he starts, he hits, but, you know, when he starts once a week, once every 10 days, you know, what is that good? And, to be fair, I mean, for the player, Voit could go down and play with Memphis in the playoffs, because he helped them get there.
Oh, for sure.
Get a chance to play, you know, postseason baseball that way. I can definitely see that. And you're right. Martinez can play that first base if necessary. I mean, Jed Jerko can play first base if necessary.
If Matt Adams could play left field, Jose Martinez can play first base.
Fair enough. Fair enough. He can stand over there. Just don't expect greatness. But we're used to not having greatness, so it's okay. So yeah, that may be the way to go. I really hadn't given that a thought, but that makes a lot of sense for him to go down. I mean, in theory, it would make sense for a bullpen piece to go down, but apparently we can't.
Right. I mean, since that's off the table.
We can't. We need to add more arms, apparently. You know, maybe, I don't know. But it was interesting. It was interesting that they went with Piscotty instead of Sierra. I mean, my feeling was, you know, if Fowler was hurting, you know, and they thought Piscotty was going to come up because Fowler was going on the DL, that made sense. But for a one-time, one-night thing, you know, Sierra made sense for a pinch-running point of view.
It's because he already had his nickname jersey made.
I hate to say that that's probably true, but that's probably true. And
the way that the rest of this weekend was a giant promo for ESPN, I feel like they probably wanted one of the five Cardinals players who had an actual nickname on their jersey to actually be out there tonight.
Yeah, that's...
Like, I'm joking, but I'm kind of serious.
You know, given... yeah. Because they wouldn't have been... I mean, they probably would have had to just put Sierra on a jersey, you know, and nothing...
No, I was going to say, he wouldn't have had one made.
No.
Probably.
Not at all. So, yeah, maybe that's what it boiled down to. It's like, yeah, we already made one of these, so we'll go with that. And since he's going to be here, we'll bat him second.
Right, of course.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's just kind of...
Show off that jersey.
I mean, sure. I mean, I'm pretty sure that, you know, lottery winner for the day gets the chance to, you know, be a Cardinal for a day. They get to bat second.
There you go.
Because that's just...
I should try that sometime.
You should. You really should. I think that would be very interesting. So, all right. Well, again, we have no answers. And we look forward to hopefully seeing that the front office has some. And so next week we will talk about what the front office did or didn't do. We're pretty good at talking about either side of those things, so.
Got it down by now.
That's right, yeah, because they've given us plenty of chances of stuff that they haven't
got a done. Lot of practice.
That's right. So, for Tara, who will have a bird seeds up tomorrow, so be sure to check that out over on YouTube, I am Daniel. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.